Maybe we talked about sports. I think there's a basketball playoff going on now, is that right? And maybe a hockey Stanley Cup Finals. I'm not sure if that's over yet or not. Or maybe you talked about your favorite baseball team. Maybe you talked about your family, your kids, your spouse, your grandkids to somebody, or had like to show pictures maybe. Maybe you talked about work, how it's going, you know. How are things at work? Are you busy? Are you slow? Do you need more help? Dave, do you need more help? Maybe you talked about politics. Maybe you like the president we have now, maybe you don't. Maybe you shared that with somebody this week. Maybe you talked about current events. There was a building that collapsed in Florida. Maybe people are talking about that. Maybe you're talking about critical race theory, which seems to be a big thing in Virginia right now. You read about that in the news. Maybe even talked about COVID. Isn't it finally nice to have something to talk about other than COVID? But what did you talk about this week? Maybe you talked about racism that's being talked about in our country right now. Maybe you talked about riots or police shootings or police being shot. Maybe you talked about the fact that crime's much higher than it was a year ago. Maybe you talked about the crisis at the border. What did you talk about this week? And I had to think, well, we're to follow Jesus, right? So what do you think Jesus talked about? If we look at his words, he talked about his heavenly Father. He talked about the kingdom of God, and he talked about a way to get there. And I had to think about today's Independence Day. We celebrate a day our freedoms, a day where we have freedoms. And for us to have those freedoms, a lot of Americans had to die, didn't they? In many wars, starting at the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, which Skit talked about, and wars after that. But people shed their blood so we could have the freedom we do today. Doesn't that sound familiar about some of the things Jesus talked about, but in a spiritual sense? We have freedom today because Jesus shed his blood for us. It's a little different. And as I thought about these things, I read a verse a couple weeks ago that bothered me. And so we're going to look at a couple verses from Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. If you want to open your Bibles, because we're limited for time this morning, we're not going to spend time reading it. We'll just kind of look at it and go through the chapter as we do that, those couple of verses. I think verses 32 to 39. Hebrews 10. Look at verse 32. What it says there is, remember those earlier days when you became a Christian. Now, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but the author here is saying to the Christians, remember the earlier days when you became a Christian. I had to think about that a little bit. Do you remember the first time you might have dove off a diving board into a pool or pond? Might have been a little scary, but it was kind of fun, and you probably talked a lot about that after you did it. I finally did it, you'd tell people. First time we do something, it's special, and it's something we remember and we talk about. What we're being reminded here is to remember those first days when you became a Christian. Remember that excitement you had. Remember the things you might have said and told people because you were excited about it. And in remembering those days, it says you should stand your ground in spite of suffering. Verse 32. Now that's kind of scary to me. I don't like to talk about suffering, do you? When we go through tough times, it's not something we look forward to. But the Christians that were being written to were going through some persecution. And so they were being reminded, remember when you first became a Christian, that joyous time. And stand your ground in spite of what you're going through now. And we go to verse 33, it talks about some of the persecution that they were facing. Public insult, persecution. Persecution could be a lot of things. And it also says in there, and I think this is important for us to remember, if you didn't suffer persecution, you were to stand by your brothers and sisters who did. So what does that mean to us today? What is that trying to tell us? So we're not quite evenly divided here. So let's just take the front of the room. These two rows. These are the persecuted Christians at New Beginnings. Barry and Colleen lost their farm. The government just came and took it. Well, it's Sean and Laura's now. And they didn't get anything for it. Larry and Alice came home one day and they had all spray painted over their house. Get out of the neighborhood, you Christians. And maybe some other choice words that were there in paint. Judy lost her job because she was following what Christ wanted her to say. And Dave and Kathy, people just spit at them and treated them really nasty and mean. Those are all awful things, aren't they? But the rest of us, what are we to do? Well, Will and Emily took Barry and Colleen in to live with them because they needed a place to stay. They didn't have anything anymore. That's a pretty big step, isn't it, when you have a family of three little kids? Leanne and the boys went over to Larry and Alice's house and they cleaned that paint off for them. Mary brought some food over to Judy and tried to help her in whatever way she could because she had lost her job. And Chuck and the rest of you back there, Dave and Becky, brought whatever comfort you could to Kathy and Dave because of all the persecution they were going through. That's what it means to be a part of a church. And that's kind of what was being written to the Christians, how they should respond to what was going on. But as we go to verse 34, it says, stand by those in prison. Maybe Dave and Kathy got thrown in prison because of what they were saying. That means go to visit them. Someone has to step up and take care of their kids, right? What if Dave went to prison and Kathy was by herself with the children? That's what was happening in the church, and that's the message that we're getting. But then I had trouble. The verse I had trouble with was verse 34 when it says, let me find it here, joyfully accept the confiscation of your property. Now, if someone come and if the government came and took your home and you had we have eminent domain today where you get some finances for the value of a property, but someone just took your property or your home that you live in, you didn't get anything in return. How many people here would be joyful over that? You know, I couldn't raise my hand. That would be tough, but be joyful over the confiscation of your property. I thought, did I ever read this before? Is that really right? And I went back to try to find it. I thought about that a couple days later, and sure enough, that's exactly what it says here in verse 34. So what is this scripture trying to teach us? How does this all go into Independence Day? Mary asked in Sunday school, what does it mean to be in God's family? You know, that question, I thought, man, Holy Spirit, that goes right along with what you're putting in my heart to share. Isn't that kind of confirmed? You never know if you're saying exactly what God wants you to say. You struggle with that sometimes because you don't want to be saying what you want. You want to say what God wants. That was confirmation because that's the question here. What does it mean to be in God's family? I think those are some of the things we're answering. But it goes on to say here, in verse 34, we can rejoice if someone confiscates your property because we have better and lasting possessions that God has for us in store in heaven, I believe. We're not to be thinking about what's going on here in this earth, but thinking about our future. What does Scripture tell us? Are we aliens here in this country? We're just passing through. And too often we live our lives like this is our home. We lay down roots and we're content and we're happy here. And what God is trying to tell us is that we shouldn't be that way. We need to be thinking about what He has in store for us. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. This is Jesus talking. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would tell you." And then here's the key part, I think, of these verses. He says, "I am going there to prepare a place for you." And then in verse 3, he talks about if he's going to prepare a place for us, he's going to come back and take us there. That's what our future is. Those are the possessions that we have that mean something. We have a home that's more awesome than anything you could ever build on this earth. And we have a Father, Jesus Christ, who is preparing it for us. And Scripture tells us that. And then verse 4 goes on to say that if he's preparing this place for us, he's going to provide a way for us to get there. And that way was when he shed his blood on the cross for us. And then verses 35 and 36, I think, gives us some instruction of what we should be doing. Verse 35 kind of tells us that we should keep your confidence. Be confident in what you believe. Be confident in what you've learned. Be confident in what Jesus has taught you over the years. And the second thing is persevere in doing God's will. Sometimes it can get discouraging doing what God wants you to do, but keep at it. Don't give up. Keep doing what God wants you to do. And then we end in verses 37 to 39. Whoever wrote this thought that Jesus was coming back pretty soon, didn't he? He said, "In just a little while, he was coming, will come, and will not delay." The disciples thought Jesus would come back in their lifetime. We think he might come in our lifetime. But Jesus is tarrying. God is tarrying so that more people can come into his kingdom. And that's where you and I come into. We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 38 and 39, it talks about not shrinking back. Verse 39 says, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed." The Greek word for shrink is hupostello. Sounds like a basketball term, doesn't it? Hupostello. But it means unwilling, to be timid, to shrink from what you believe in. And so we are being told to be confident and don't be timid in sharing God's word. And finally, I think, to help us through all these things we're talking about, it says, believe in Jesus Christ. I think we do that. We need to continue to do that. We need to trust him. We need to seek him. We need to have faith in him. We need to be doing his will in the work we do here on earth. And we need to remember that our freedom comes not from the shed blood that gives us freedoms here in this country, but from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so this Independence Day, not only can you celebrate the freedoms you have in living here, but celebrate the freedoms you have because of Jesus dying on the cross for you and shedding his blood for you. And maybe this week we can talk about that a little more with the people we come in contact with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for the freedom we have because of the blood you shed for each one of us on the cross. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your love, for your compassion and kindness to each one of us. And help us celebrate that this Independence Day. Help us to celebrate that this week. And help us not to be timid in sharing that with those we work with or those we come in contact with. Give us the boldness we need to further your kingdom on this earth, is what we ask in your name. Amen.